Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Welcome to the Nerds Podcast number 434. Today is Thursday, November 7th. Tomorrow, November 8th, I'll be performing at the Carolina Theater in Durham, North Carolina. So come on out to see that. Also in December, I have dates in Chicago, Minneapolis, and Seattle. And I believe a young lad by the name of Matt Myra is going to be opening for me in those dates. I know. So that'll be two-thirds of us there. Well, really, two-fifths.
Aww.
Or did you think I was talking about you, Kyle?
I thought we agreed that it's a tertiary relationship.
We didn't agree to anything. So you can go to Nerdist.com/calendar to get tickets and info on that. This episode, we sidestepped Marvel Week a little bit to get this fantastic actress named Saoirse Ronan on, and she has a movie that's out November 8th called How I Live Now. And she's... Even if you don't know her name, she's a young Irish actress who's been... In Hannah and Lovely Bones, and then also in the Grand Budapest Hotel from Wes Anderson, and How to Catch a Monster with Matt Smith, which are not out yet. But she was fantastic, and I'd never met her before. I certainly knew who she was, but I didn't know she was 19. I had no idea she was 19 years old. I mean, I would have said maybe like, oh, she's probably like 24 or 25 years old, but she, and not to be insulting to any 19-year-olds, but I wouldn't have been like, no, she's...
I will. Step up your game, other 19-year-olds.
Whoa! The gauntlet has been laid down by Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a good week for accents on the podcast, too.
Very good.
Because we had Tom Hiddleston, and now Saoirse, who the lilt of her Irish accent is hypnotic.
Yeah.
And she's super fast, super funny, and an incredible actress. So I'm glad that we were able to kind of nab an interview with her while she was in town for the Nerdist Podcast number 434 with Saoirse Ronan.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Proper meat. I really like American bacon, though.
Well, it's delicious and processed.
Yeah.
I'm sure some percentage of it is actually pig.
Delicious hormones.
That's what gives it the flavor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Goodness.
I can't help it. I can't help it. It's what we're raised on.
It is. It's great, though.
I will never understand any of the mites, Marmite, Vegemite, Promite. I will never understand
never
any of it.
I never got into any of that either, actually. Because I know that some people, like in, I think in Australia, is it Vegemite?
Yeah, Vegemite,
in Australia it's Vegemite, and then in New Zealand it's Did I just say New Zealand? Or did
no, you said Australia.
Yeah, Australia, it's Vegemite. In New Zealand, it's Marmite, isn't it?
And
they bloody hate the other one, and they both taste the same. They both taste exactly the same. They're both awful.
Maybe that's because one group eats one, and then the other one, so they by association.
No, that's what it is, yeah. But I mean, I guess it's because they hate each other.
I had an Australian girlfriend, and she was... got me to try it as a joke. She was like, oh yeah, just take a spoonful. But you're not supposed to eat it that way.
No.
And it's basically just like eating a handful of chunky salt. And it was like, it's just like salt paste.
It is a bit like that.
It's like salt paste.
Yeah.
If someone came upon a puddle in and of mud in the road, and they were like, well, let's just put salt on
this. Threw some salt on it.
And then scooped it out.
Threw
and
some
then
salt on it there.
Smeared it on your tongue. To me, that would be Vegemite.
It is really not the best thing
what's
to put on your bread.
What is bizarre Irish cuisine?
We have pudding, which is...
Sounds good.
Well, wait until I tell you what's in it.
There's more?
So it's not a dessert. It's something that we have for breakfast. So we have... When we have a fry-up, we have rashers, which is bacon. Our bacon, our back bacon. Eggs, toast, beans, things like that. And we always have either black or white pudding. And
oh,
in pudding, it's like a big, massive sausage. And it's got fat in it and like ground up bones and blood and all the parts of the animal that you don't want to think about.
They were all left over.
And it's all in there and it's great. It's so nice. It's so yummy. It's got fat in it and everything.
It's the part
and it's the nicest
neglect.
Thing. And we grew up on that stuff. Whenever a kid would have a fry up at home, you'd have pudding. And you never knew what was going into it. And then one day my parents told me, and it was like telling me about Santa Claus or something.
That Santa Claus really? Is made of all the bones and fat from all
yeah,
the other
exactly.
animals.
What?
Yeah, I know blood pudding is...
Ruined my childhood.
I'm sure it just goes back to not wanting to waste anything, so the butchers would just
absolutely.
Scoop all the leftover butchery yeah. parts into a... Onto a fryer, basically.
Well, that's what makes up Irish cuisine, I think. You know,
the
we
leftovers?
We didn't come up with the baguette. We didn't come up with, you know, shepherd's pie or anything like that. But the stews that we have, and we have this thing called coddle, which is like a stew as well. And it was basically just spuds and bacon and anything you could get your hand on. And you just put it into hot boiling water and make soup out of it. And my mom still makes it now. And it's great.
I am so... I've been all over England. I've been all over Scotland. And Ireland is the one place that I really, really, really want to go. And I haven't been yet.
I can't believe you haven't gone to Ireland.
I know.
Since
I'm a dick.
Scotland as well.
I did. But I was always
Scotland's
on...
Scotland's great.
I was actually just in Scotland in May. I'm always on a limited time frame. So,
yeah.
My traveling is never... I'll just go one place for 2 weeks. It's okay. We'll go to London and then we have 5 days that we could drive up to take a train, go up to Scotland, go around and then go back. And we got to fly out.
I know.
So I never have... I need to take a dedicated Irish trip.
I think you need to make the time to go to Ireland.
I think
will. That's the thing. Before you go over there, you got to make the time to go over. Because the thing is, as well, is that you can get the ferry over. So you can go to Wales and you can hang out in Wales for like a day. Because once you've seen... one part of Wales, you've kind of seen it all. It's beautiful, but it's, you know, and you can get the ferry from there and then take it over to Ireland.
I
was just going to say the lovely thing about, in particular, Ireland, Scotland and Wales is that they're all sort of, and England as well, they're all sort of variations of each other, you know. So Scotland's very, it's very dramatic and, you know, there's a lot of cliffs, there's a lot of roaring seas and things like that. And it's really kind of exotic, whereas Ireland's got a bit of that as well, but it's a little bit more low-key. And then Wales has all the hills and England's really pretty and so it's nice.
I really want to go. I actually hear the comedy scene over there is really good right now.
In Ireland?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. The same in Scotland, actually, because they have the Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
You should go to the Fringe Festival
year. I've just never performed because I don't have a month to donate to the Fringe Festival.
I know. Yeah, well, you have to go up there first and kind of hand out flyers for your show.
You got a flyer for your show and you got it like every night, you know? And I mean, I think it sounds really fun.
It's great.
You do, you know, everyone I know, I mean, a ton of my friends have done it, but I do guess that you probably start slowly going insane after the first week.
That's what everyone says.
And then you have a breakdown about halfway through, but then...
And then it's great by the end.
Exactly,
and then
by
you
the
really
end.
Miss it on that last night. We were there the last night, so we had gone up for the very last weekend. And I think... Or maybe we went up on Thursday and it was finished on Sunday or Monday or something like that. And everyone was like, oh, you know, I've got all these flyers in my apartment. There's like three boxes of flyers that I never got out. And I just want the show to be over now. It's done. I've done it now. And then by the time Sunday comes and everything's over, you go back to the same place every night. Everyone goes to this big place in the town, you know, to have a drink. And we'd go back to that place, and by the end of the weekend, it was completely empty. And they were like, oh, God, that was great, you know? That was a really great experience,
and
I
miss Stockholm Syndrome with the Fringe Festival.
Yeah, I miss you. I miss the show.
Oh, man, I was...
So they go through stages, those guys.
I was in Edinburgh in May, and it's just... It's such a gorgeous town.
Beautiful. It's so beautiful. I was just up there a few weeks ago, and it's amazing. And have you looked at the map as well? Have you looked at the map of... Did you travel into all the closes that they have
in the town?
Do you know what they are? The little alleyways?
Yeah, we did some of them.
Yeah.
We took a haunted tour of Edinburgh.
Yeah, I know, of Mary... What's-her-face?
Yes,
Mary King's Close.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
We did that as well.
Because she was an outsider, and she came down, and they didn't recognize her clothes or whatever, and then they killed her as a witch, burned her as a witch
something
or something.
Like
something
that.
Terrible like
we
that.
We did like a private tour. It was for... hopefully this film that I'm doing next year about Mary Queen of Scots.
And
we went up there and we did research and went to visit all these different castles and things like that. But we went into the closes. And so there were all these tours going on and we kind of had to bypass everyone. So we got like a really quick version throughout. I think it was maybe half an hour.
There's a close.
You're done. This is what a close looks like.
You feel slightly cold. Okay, you're being haunted. And let's keep moving.
Yeah.
But with a Scottish accent.
But it was amazing, though. It was so amazing. And to think as well, when you go into one of those rooms, that, you know, 40 people would be living in there.
Oh, it's
when they were up and running.
Well, to literally see the class system represented as a three-dimensional... The lowest class were at the lowest level.
Yeah, there was literally levels that represented
the class.
They just
built on top of the poor.
Yeah. They did. They lived underground, and then the rich people lived... Actually, no, the rich people lived in the middle because it was warmer than living up top.
Oh.
Do you remember?
I guess I didn't remember. I wasn't paying attention.
You weren't paying attention.
I was
in
too taken aback by its majesty, but it's sort of funny to see these. You know, just essentially everything is historical. There, every building, every structure, but then you just see like a regular, like it's a yogurt shop, you know. But it's a fucking like you
but
know.
But the building's beautiful. That
gorgeous
to the yogurt
gorgeous.
Shop.
Gorgeous. We stayed in a castle. We stayed in a castle just outside, just about 13 kilometers outside of Edinburgh, and. And again, you know, coming from America, where our history is very limited, just in terms of how long we've been around.
Yeah.
But, and they're like, oh, and this castle, and this dent in the side of the castle is where Oliver Cromwell fired a cannonball.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's really hard not to, you know, I guess you could take it for granted if you live there, but the whole time our mouths were just open like, it's really old.
Yeah, you do, I think, you know, and something I was saying to someone recently that, a home in Ireland, when you drive down the motorway or on the freeway, there's mountains all around you. And it's something that we do take for granted. We don't kind of really soak up sometimes how beautiful our scenery is and how... Because, you know, I mean, I absolutely love America, but there's some places in America where it is just all kind of concrete because it's a modern country. It was, you know, it's only a young country. So
LA's one of those places.
Yeah, LA is one of those places in certain parts. And so you go to a place like that where almost, you know, our modern society has been built into the culture of the place, and it's been built into almost like the hillsides of the country, which is really nice. But yeah, and Edinburgh is like that too. It's just, it's beautiful.
What do you think, maybe this is a dumb question, but what do you think coming from a place that has a very rich and lengthy history, how do you think that forms you as a people, like as a current civilization? How do you feel like, you know, because, do you feel like Irish people are a little more calm because they've had all this history behind them, and, you know, Americans are a little more spazzy because we're young and, like...
Like little puppies.
We're kind of like puppies.
Little puppy dogs.
Yeah, we're kind of like puppies that will
We're like
on
the
your
Irish
floor.
Wolfhound.
Yes. Don't... It's regal, and but you don't want to fuck with it.
Yeah. I think in some ways our history won't let us rest, considering what happened in our country and in Scotland in particular. There was a lot of fighting for a long time and a lot of struggle for freedom and things like that. And so I think that's something that for a lot of people is still very raw still. But, and not in a bad, well, sometimes in a bad way, but not always in a bad way. But I think... One of the things that has really influenced us as a people is the fact that we are such an old country, and that, you know, Scotland and Wales, I can talk for Ireland mainly, but we're such a small old country, and so for so long I think storytelling was such a big part of how we communicated with each other, and we did that through music and we did it through storytelling and passing stories down and using folklore and things like that and legends, and so I think that that became a part of who we all are as people. So I was watching a film the other day called The Quiet Man, which is a film by John Ford from the 50s, which was a famous Irish film that John Wayne was in and Maureen O'Hara, and they used Irish actors in this film, which was so nice because so often, even now, like, they'd bring in American actors or English actors or someone like that and they'd get them to put on the accent and it never works. And we've got such great actors at home, and I was looking at these people and most of them probably aren't even alive anymore, and they were so naturally animated. They were so, they'd always talk like that, and people in general at home do talk like they're, you know, singing a song or something. It's very melodic, and I kind of thought about it the other day, and I thought, you know, that was 60 plus years ago, and it's clearly a part of who we are as people, the fact that we're so kind of animated and so musical, you know.
So do you think that the Irish are natural performers?
I think so, yeah, because I think we had to depend on that for so long. I think because we were such an old country, that was what we did when we got together. And even now, you know, when people get together in an Irish pub, we have a session, we have a music session, a traditional Irish music session, where people will get banjos out and guitars and fiddles, and, you know, the girls will Irish dance and people will sing ballads, and it's lovely. It's really nice. And I guess something like that kind of comes with a lot of history, you know. So
it's unfortunate that, you know... I mean, this has certainly changed since the internet, but, you know, America, not to shit on it, but America is very America-centric because we're essentially isolated over here, and our country is so large.
Yeah, and very diverse
it's
as well.
Incredibly diverse, but I think, you know, if you ask most Americans what they knew about Ireland, it would probably be, I don't know, green... The cranberries.
The cranberries. Most people probably wouldn't even know that.
What? No.
I mean,
I guess that's just, that just that's just a function
maybe
of my
you.
Age.
Yeah. No, because you know good music. I mean,
Dolores O'Riordan.
She's great.
Is she still perform?
I think she's still kicking about. Yeah.
Wow.
I haven't heard from her in a while, but they must be doing something. They're great.
I remember when that freaking album came out. Oh my god.
So great. Sinead O'Connor is touring now again.
I know, and she's fighting with Miley. Sinead O'Connor.
She is.
Sinead O'Connor is so fucking funny to me.
Those letters. My God.
Yeah, I can't tell how much Sinead is, like, really kind of serious, or how much of it is, you know, she knows she's just kind of putting people on. I can't tell with her.
I think she likes to take the piss a bit, but I think she's a very smart woman. I mean, she's made some interesting choices throughout her life, I think, and I just think, you know, you can judge her personal life if you want, but what she does on stage is so brilliant, and she's so talented. I saw her a few months ago in Ireland, and she was amazing. And she was great, and she was really funny and really charismatic and really smart. She's a very smart woman, you know. So I can see why she'd kind of take offense from...
Oh, my God, I remember...
...certain young performers now.
Well, it's so hard because the older you get, young people, you're just sort of naturally.
It's just like, oh God.
Yeah, seriously.
What have we become?
What the fuck? Get over it. Just get over it.
Put your clothes on.
You don't know shit. Come on. Like, you really do start to. But I do remember being that age and being like, I know shit. And then
I know.
You don't know shit. But she, I remember watching, you're probably too young to remember this, but I'm sure you've heard the story, but where she rips up the picture of the Pope on the SNL. Yeah. I watched that episode live.
What did you think of it? How did you react to it?
It was so, okay, so you have to understand that at the time, no one did anything like that on American television. It was during a period of time where American television wasn't particularly controversial in that way.
Yeah.
And so, and I don't really feel like it was a time where America, you know, in a pre-9/11 world, I don't feel like America as a culture made a lot of political statements on the air like that. So it was very, when she did it, it just went, I mean, you could hear the paper rip. It was, the air just got sucked out of the studio. No one was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
No,
what are we?
You can't, what? Like, people just couldn't fucking handle it.
Yeah.
And it really was. I mean, it was a very bold thing.
Pretty ballsy thing.
It was an incredibly ballsy thing to do.
Yeah.
Because, I think most Americans didn't really understand what it was that she was trying to say and what the struggle was and what the division lines were and why that, you know, she was making this statement.
Well, that's another thing as well, I suppose, is that if you know your history at home, you know how big a part religion was of of our kind of four countries, you know. And I don't know. I mean, was that taught a lot over here, just about the Reformation, all that sort of stuff?
It's very unless you specialize in it in college.
Yeah,
we at least when I was in school. You sort of skate over that, like, in a couple days. And then the Reformation. And then you sort of move on. I mean, like, we don't... Again, so much history that I remember taking in school was American history.
Yeah.
And world history really wasn't.
Which is really rich as well, I suppose. Like, I mean, you know.
It
still
is.
Still an awful lot.
But the rest of the world's been around a lot longer.
Has been around a long time.
So we, you know, I think a lot of us just didn't really, you know, understand at the time.
Yeah.
I think it was just more like, she's fucking ripping up a picture of the Pope. You know, like, people just couldn't, they just didn't understand. And so, you know, there was a little bit of a witch hunt for her in this country. I remember, like, the next time she went to perform somewhere, they booed her off stage, you know. And I think that would be fine if they knew what they were booing. But I think a lot of people just didn't know what they were booing. Like, oh, she ripped up a picture of the Pope. You can't do that. Fuck you. You know, like. If they had all the information and then could have made an informed decision, I do not support that. Or, hey, maybe she has a... But I really don't think that's what happened.
Did she explain afterwards, though?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I maybe...
See, if she had Twitter back then, she probably would have just tweeted, I am ripping off a picture of the Pope right now.
Hashtag awkward.
Hashtag aux. Aux 2013.
Just did SNL. Whoa, what happened? What's with all the paparazzi? Come on, that's got to be a thing. That's got to be a thing.
Write it down.
Kyle, write that shit down.
Write that down.
Do you do comedy at all? Do you do live comedy at all?
No, I don't. I don't know if I'd be any good at it. I mean, like, when I went up to Edinburgh, I thought, Jesus Christ, they've got some guts to get up there. And I mean, there were some people that were just amateur comedians, and some of them got ripped to shreds.
Oh, yeah.
And it was terrible. And they didn't... Some of them, you know, it was their own fault because they didn't actually change what they were doing. They just kept going with it. And we were kind of like, you've got to mix it up a bit. Nobody likes what you're doing. But at the same time, the fact that they got up there and did it, I don't think I could do it. So I've never done anything like that. But I love comedy, though. I love watching comedy, and I've grown up on comedy.
Edinburgh can be rough too, because you're basically...
But just the Scots in general.
Yeah, you're
like,
getting heckled
harsh.
By Scots, and you
can't
understand.
Do you know what I mean?
What the fuck are you doing on that? What, you get that? Fuck it! You're like, what are you saying? What are you saying?
Put your kilt back on.
Yeah. But it's it is as a, again, I mean, when I was a younger, less experienced comedian, I went over and performed in London, and I had a rough time because I just, all my references were America-based.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it just, you
just
know,
didn't work.
Not even references, but culturally, you know, I think
the humor is different.
Everything's different. I mean, like, I think the mistake happens where people go, oh, we all speak, quote, the same language.
Yeah.
We don't. We speak a version of a language that had a common ancestor. Mm. But culturally, you know, comedy is really just like the baby of the culture.
Yeah.
And things that, you know, because I love watching British comedy, but I've also, you know, especially if you watch like a lot of the older Mitchell and Webb stuff, and I go,
I know
this is funny, but I know it would be funnier if I were British and grew up in England, because I know that there are things here that I'm not.
Yeah, I know. I think I can appreciate both. I mean, I love British humor. I love how dry it is. And we really do, you know, Irish, English, Scottish, we all kind of just take the piss out of ourselves all the time. And again, I suppose the humour in that comes from us being a kind of like a tough country that kind of having a bit of little man syndrome where you have to let people know that you're there. You know? And so the humour kind of comes out of that in a way.
Yeah.
But I love American humor as well. I mean, I was born in New York.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I was born in the Bronx.
Oh my gosh.
Obviously. Clearly I was born in the Bronx.
No, see, that was a little Jenny more of a Brooklyn Block. Accent I was picking up from you this whole time.
Oh, really?
So you're actually born in the Bronx.
I wouldn't have minded being from Brooklyn, actually.
Well, now it's cool. You wouldn't have wanted to be from Brooklyn like 20 years ago.
Me and J-Lo were like that.
Yeah, Brooklyn's only just recently, like in the last 15 years, been like...
I know, I really like Brooklyn. I love New York, but we... lived there, and I lived there till I was about 3 and a half, four. And I remember being a kid and watching Seinfeld and watching Cheers, and those were the kind of shows that my mum and dad loved watching. They also loved, you know, Blackadder and AbFab and, you know, The Fast Show. Have you ever seen The Fast Show?
No.
You should check out The Fast Show. It's got Harry Enfield in it, if you've heard of him.
How did I miss that?
The Fast Show's... I think it's the best British sketch comedy ever.
I'm not the Anglophile I thought I was.
Yeah. So, no, but a lot of English people haven't heard of it. I don't know why. It was a really famous show. It was in the late 80s, 90s.
All right.
Yeah, it's great.
To the internet! So are you a dual citizenship wielding person?
I am.
Damn!
Ugh. And I got through customs the other day like that.
What?
Yeah, I went through with Kevin, who directed this film that's coming out, and he had to go through the visitors' queue, you know.
Like,
see you later,
sucker.
So got you through in no time.
Okay, so you were here for a few years, then your family moved back to Ireland.
Yeah.
Okay,
but I kept the passport. I've got the passport in my bag.
So you've got both of them.
I've got two.
That's pretty snazzy.
It's pretty great.
That's very, very Jason Bourne of you.
I know. Well. Mom, it was more mom than anything else. She insisted on having me in New York because they had just gone through so much shite when they were over here, and you know, they basically got married ahead of time to get the visa.
Yeah.
They were going to get married, and then mom had gotten accepted for a green card, but dad didn't. So they said, all right, fuck it, let's do it on Monday. They literally, like, mom found out on the Thursday that she had gotten the visa or the green card, and she called dad up and she said, listen, let's get married on Monday in City Hall. And they did.
Oh.
And they've been together ever since. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Is that, what is the Irish divorce rate? Is it, because here in the States.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Because here in the States, when I was a kid, if someone in class said, my parents are getting divorced. You're like, oh my God, your parents. And now if you meet someone and they go, oh, my parents are still married. You're like, oh my God, your parents are still married.
Yeah,
like,
what's wrong?
It's so crazy. How do they do it?
What's wrong with them?
Are they invalids? Could they not get away from each other?
Do they live together? Or?
Are they some type of conjoined twin?
No, mom and dad
physically
are
physically unable to.
They're tied together. No, they're great. They've been together for like 30 years or something.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, that's really nice. Do they live back in Ireland now?
They live back in Ireland, yeah. They live in Dublin.
Dublin,
yeah.
All right.
Between the country and Dublin. So.
So when I eventually do go to Ireland.
You have to go.
I will. I promise I will.
You can take this green mic with you.
I'll take the green mic with you. And if I just walk out holding that.
Someone will give you a free pint.
Will they? Oh, man.
Just wear a green. And we'll love you for it.
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Because I don't drink anymore, so I can't, like, that's
no.
the only, and I never miss it, but the only time I ever feel a little twinge of, like, it was being in, like, Edinburgh or going to England, and it's like,
well,
you guys make it so charming over there.
Well, we do for a while, yeah. If you've grown up with it. But no, the pints of Guinness over there are creamy, pure goodness. It's like the darkest black you can dream of. And white of snow cream on top.
It's like drinking a cake.
It's beautiful.
But not sugary.
It kind of tastes like water as well. It's just really, really pure.
Oh, man. I remember the very first time. It was like in 96 when I went over there and actually had a pint of, you know, just some regular ale. Room temperature, you know. It's
stout.
Yeah. My body didn't know what to do with it.
I know.
Because I was so used to, like, ice cold American beer, you know. And then I get this thing which is sort of like the head vampire of beer, which is this is room temperature. This room temperature, non-bubbly, non-carbonated,
it's
you know.
Dark.
It was dark.
I know. You don't know what's going on.
The first one, I couldn't, my body didn't process it, but then after that, I grew to really like it.
It's really nice. It's really lovely. And there's so many different kinds of ale as well, you know.
Especially
like you go
now.
You go into a pub in England and they've got like 10 different kinds that you can choose from.
Wow.
They've got floral ones, they've got honey ones, honeydew.
What?
It's pretty amazing.
I should just start drinking again.
I know. We just have Guinness. Yeah, I know. Just drink already.
I mean, seriously.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't be.
No, it's been 10 years. I proved I could do it.
Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Let's go to Ireland.
That is the only time I'm kind of like, oh, man, it'd be nice just to be out and about. But other than that, you know, it really... I really do want to get nature-y. I really, like, I just want to go out and see the green.
I know, and it's great as well, especially if you've been in the city for a long time, you know, like, I've kind of been away for the last little while doing bits and bobs, and because I grew up in the country, so when we moved back home, Dublin was just really expensive, and my family are from there, but the houses were too expensive. So we went to the country, and I grew up there, and, you know, learned to swim in the river right beside my house, and had beautiful trees all around and an acre of a garden, and you know, it was me and my dog, and we were just in heaven in this beautiful green place, and you kind of want to get out there by the time you're 18. You just want to, if you've grown up there, you're sick of the green and you're sick of the trees and no more bushes, no more anything like that. But then you're desperate to get back to it again, and it's just kind of, it's really relaxing when you go back to it, you know.
So you're very that serene. You're that storybook Irish lass that like American guys
grew
are like,
up in the country.
I just got lost backpacking in Ireland, and then this beautiful woman came out of a lake and shook her hair in slow
motion. That's what I do. That's what I do.
Yeah, this is all in slow motion.
I wait for the passersby.
You're just peeking out through the water.
Yeah.
His eyes.
Like a little mermaid.
There's one.
I got one of those reeds to breathe through, and I just like swim around.
But you went underwater so long that you're just all wrinkly.
Oh no.
Soggy.
That's why I've kept my hands under here the whole time. Pretty fingers. Pretty fingers and toes.
Do you think you're gonna? Are you gonna buy a place back in Ireland and just have a home back there?
Well, I mean, we have a place back in Ireland. We have a place in the city and a place in the country, which is where I grew up. So I think, you know, even though it would be nice to live in different places, I kind of imagine raising my kids in Ireland. You know,
yeah.
It's an amazing place to grow up, especially in the country as well. I think I'd want to raise kids in the country because it's nice to be around nature and animals and, you know, things like that. I hate to see kids that freak out if, like, their trainers get a little bit of mud on them or, you know,
they don't know how to
climb a tree. Or I've been to the Grove. I got papped in the Grove the last time I was there.
Did you?
Yeah, well, I've been going there for years and years, and they have paparazzi that just hang out there.
Yeah, because they shoot, is it Extra or Access Hollywood? Extra, I think.
Access Hollywood.
One of the entertainment shows is based out of the Grove. And I even get it sometimes, which makes me feel like, are you guys fucking scraping the bone? You know, like, it came out of the Apple store once and a guy was like, what would you do in a zombie apocalypse? And I'm like, nah, I'd kill myself. Like, I don't know what to...
I'd become a zombie.
You would. Eventually you would.
But I mean, just do it already. Just become a zombie, get it over and done with. And then you've got nothing to fear, you know?
So
it's all these people that keep running away from it. Just let it happen.
I'm just trying to make sure I understand this. So you're saying rush to the conformity.
Just kind of go, listen, guys, take me as I am.
It's just, yeah, this is the tenderest meats right there.
Take it right there, or up here in the jugular.
Yeah.
Is that where the jugular
It'll
is?
It'll be nice and soft. I just got out of the lake.
Nice and tender. Nice and pruny.
I'm a little chewy.
But you know
right
what
now.
I mean? Just become a part of it. Join the movement.
Yeah. Maybe it's amazing.
Maybe it's great.
You don't
Maybe
know.
Maybe we don't realise how great it actually is.
It could be awesome to be a zombie. It could just be...
I would say so. Well, they keep making films about them, so...
They certainly
there
do.
There must be something interesting about them.
There might... Huh? It is. Well, I think it's... You know, it's it always seems to be like the horror folklore always seems to be an outgrowth of, essentially the hypochondria of the culture.
Mm.
And right now, I think people are, you know, we're going through a time where people are super freaked out about some type of chemical, or just, you know, like a mega virus and.
Which is fair enough. There's a lot of chemicals.
Yeah.
There's a lot of chemicals floating around, but there have been a lot of viruses though. I mean, there was a girl I was talking to a while ago, and she nearly passed out the other day because she got this virus.
What was it?
She doesn't know.
Was it?
She was just working, and all of a sudden felt really faint and almost passed out.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Did she?
She's
go
fine. No, she's fine. She was doing my makeup today, so she's all right.
I probably had some weird virus. Let me just put my hands on your face and near your
eyes.
But
that's what I said to her. Is it contagious?
I don't think so. And it's just like blood splatter.
Yeah, everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere. But yeah, there's a lot of that going around.
So when you grew up in Ireland and you know, I mean, even though it seems like, oh, you know, if you're Irish, you might be predisposed to being a performer and that might seem like a natural thing to do. But where do you go in Ireland to really start exploring that? Do you go to Dublin?
Well, I didn't know that I wanted to be an actor at all, really. I wanted to be a waitress when I was a kid.
What?
I was an actor that still wants to be a waitress or a radio DJ. I'd love to be a radio DJ.
So you're just biding your time as an actor until you can get a waiting job?
I'm gonna kick you guys out of here in the next few minutes. Have some fun.
I worked in radio for a long time.
Yeah?
Yeah. It is fun, but it's
great.
I mean, this is, you could do a podcast. Podcast is like doing radio.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you want to play music?
I like the idea of spinning discs.
They don't do that anymore.
Spinning discs.
No.
And I'm going to bring that back. I'm going to spin some discs. I'm going to wear some cans, but only on one ear.
On one ear, yeah.
Just on the one ear.
Yep.
I'm going to spin my chair around and point.
Grab stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. I did that. You used to have to
That's
pull.
That's what I want
to do. You used to have to pull all your commercial spots, and they were basically on these, they were called carts, but they were sort of like, they looked like 8-track tapes. So it was tape, and you'd pull them, and you'd load them into the machines, and you'd do all the transitions and work the pods. But now so much of it's computer now. So much of it's just like, it's all programmed, and you don't really do anything other than...
It's 95.5.
Did you have a radio voice?
I don't know what my radio voice was. Well, I mean, I've never actually been a radio DJ. Only in my dreams, but I don't know. What?
Now it's time to start. So here's
hey kids. I don't know.
Here we go.
I think I'd deepen my voice.
Here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna be your music. So I'm gonna be the beginning of a song. All right. And then so what you have to do is you have to hit what's called the post, and the post is the beat right before the lyrics come on. You know how DJs always hit
they do right it before? So well.
Okay, that's now at the radio station I worked at, it was an alternative station in the 90s, and they told us not to do that because they didn't want us to sound like old radio. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to be a song, and then I'm going to come in. I'm going to help you. I'm just going to come in with the lyrics like a beat after you're done, okay?
Okay. Well, what am I supposed to say, though?
I don't know.
I'm too jet-lagged right now to think of anything.
Let's just pretend.
I reckon.
So just think about something that happened in your town. Maybe there's a garlic festival, or I don't know. Something's going on.
Okay.
So you're talking about, you say your name, you say the name of the station, then you just say a couple of events that are coming up. And then say,
what's the name of the station?
I, K, K,
K, KTLR 92 FM.
You've already got it. Okay, you're way.
This is Saoirse Ronan on KTLFR 92 FM AM, and we are here today. The sun is shining, the clouds are out, the birds are singing, and it's a beautiful day in Los Angeles. Here we go.
What's in your head? Oh, I came in the middle of the song.
In the very land, I think you know them too well. Did you listen to the Cranberries constantly when you were younger?
No. What?
In your head. No, what are you talking about?
What song is that?
What are you talking about? I know. Oh, yeah.
Zombie. We didn't have that kind of soul yodeling over here in the States when she brought that over.
That's so brilliant.
When
that's
she was
such
doing,
a good impression.
Americans are like, what is she doing with her mouth? Like,
that's so funny.
We couldn't even process it. You too didn't
How
give us any of that.
How does she do that? Yeah, I know.
I don't know, because she's otherworldly. Well. She's sprightly. Dolores is sprightly and otherworldly.
I don't know how she does it.
I just thought...
She's kind of magical.
I think we just assume that all Irish people are like that. Do you want some bread? Like, you guys just talk like that all the time, but that's not true. You're saying that's not
Well, I'm
true.
Not going to talk like that around you.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Just for your own people.
Yeah, we're beautiful speakers at home, though.
It is a lovely language. How does does American English sound disgusting to you?
No, it doesn't. Not when you guys are talking. I mean, there's certain accents that I find really interesting.
Upspeak.
To listen to. And I think, why aren't you moving your mouth properly? I feel like they just kind of let their jaw drop.
I just don't even care enough to close my mouth.
I don't even care. What?
You want to?
I don't even know.
It's everything is a lot of things come end as a question. You want some water?
That actually was a question, though.
What is that?
Oh, shit. Fuck. All right.
I'm super hungry.
Oh, so you are hungry or you're not hungry?
I'm, like, super hungry. It could either do that or it could go down and it turns into a kind of gravelly voice.
I don't know. Your American accent's really good. Well, I guess
I love doing that accent so much. I'd love to do that in a film.
Have you not gotten to play an American in a film yet?
Oh, I've played American, but just not a Valley Girl. I'd love to do Valley Girl. Because I just think it's so... It's like its own little thing. I feel like somebody just came along one day and said, you know what? I'm going to create my own accent. I'm going to use some American. I'm going to use some English. I'm going to use something else. Throw it all together. And that's what I get.
It's so... And you know what's funny is that it's become a very native... of speech pattern dialect, but it really, I think, was engineered to sort of be, I don't even care. You know, like, engineered, you know, from people who wanted to show that they didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
But then just generations of Valley inbreeding created that sort of lazy... I'd love to talk to a linguist and find out, like, what the...
That'd be really interesting, wouldn't it? I wonder, did it just come from drugs, though?
It might have come from
people years ago who were so kind of out of it.
It might have come from surf culture, maybe, or drugs, or
maybe it's that.
I don't know. But the Valley's a weird place.
Figured it out here today.
Do you spend any time in the Valley when you're in Los Angeles?
Not really. No.
Good. Run away.
Look away.
It's not bad. There are parts of the Valley that are really nice, but the strip of Ventura Boulevard now we're alienating most of the people listening who don't live here. But so much of Ventura Boulevard in the Valley. Feels like sometime around 1974, someone was like, shit, there's people moving here. We got to put up buildings. What should they look like? I don't fucking care. Just build them. Like, nothing is planned well at all. Everything just looks like weird, crappy 70s.
Oh, no.
Stucco. They just, you know, they just had to get these businesses up as quickly as possible because people were, stage moms were flooding the Valley with their adorable children to be in the film version of Annie.
So they
had to put everyone in the Valley. That's where they all lived.
I really like Silver Lake.
It's good.
I really like
Silver
Lake.
I live near there.
Do you?
Yes.
I think it's really cool.
Yeah, Silver Lake, East Hollywood. It's a good place. There's a lot of history over there. Mm-hmm. Yep, it's a good town.
It kind of feels a little bit like New York to me.
A little bit.
There's parts of it that just, I don't know. But I like LA, though. I mean, I used to not be crazy about it because I think I'd always come over and just do publicity and stay in a hotel in Beverly Hills and work and not really get to see anything. But I came over recently and I got a chance to actually look around and, you know, see people and do things like go to the Magic Castle.
Yes.
And, you know, which is the best.
I was just there.
Were you?
The Magic Castle's
great. Do you
know
Spaff? Do you know David Spaff?
No.
He's one of the magicians there. He's got kind of grey, silver hair. I think he's performing soon, actually. I think he performs in November. But he worked on a film that I did this year. And so I went last time I was there, and he brought me in, and like walking around like he owned the place, which he basically does. He was great, though.
Not to brag, it's so my cool. Friend is the president of the Magic Castle.
Kind of my house.
So I like to go there a lot.
Yeah. I do like to brag about that one. I have to say,
I know a
magician. That's cool.
That's a brag.
No, he's
great. How many magicians do you know? I know one magician.
I know two magicians.
What?
I know two magicians.
I know four. 14. I know 14 magicians.
Have you met them? Have you actually spoken to them, or do you just...
Define.
Have you had a conversation with them ever? Do they know your name?
Well, some of them probably have
Spaff
cable.
And I are very close.
How close?
We're really close.
Well, my magician...
He's my best bud.
My magician likes to just call me up and do card tricks over the phone. Pick a card, ace of diamonds. Yep.
It's not the same
thing.
And
then he hangs up.
You're living in a dream world.
What?
You are living in a dream world.
Damn it.
And you don't even know it. Ugh. And that's the sad thing about it.
Bringing some of that Irish honesty over here.
You can't handle the truth.
What? You've just torn up my picture.
I know.
Fight the real enemy.
Oh, Sinead. Sweet Sinead.
Well, let's talk a little, because we have some time left. Let's talk a little bit about this is a really horrible question. I apologize. What are you promoting? You're in a movie. Are you in a movie now?
I'm in a movie.
Please talk about it.
I'm an actor who does films sometimes.
Who is friends with two magicians.
Friends with two magicians.
Yeah.
And has seen Sinead O'Connor live once on stage.
What?
It's a film called How I Live Now. And it's directed by the guy that went through the visitors section of customs the other day.
That's how he's listed on IMDb.
Yeah, and his name's Kevin MacDonald.
Uh-huh.
And so Kevin's done things like Marley, you know, that documentary that came out last year on Bob Marley, and Last King of Scotland. He's a really great director. And we did this film together last year, and it's about a girl called Daisy who's sent over from New York by her father to stay with her cousins and her aunt in the English countryside for the summer. And she's she's kind of a very abrasive teenager. She's very tough when you meet her. She's a bit of a bitch, basically. She's not very likeable. And so she comes into this environment where everyone's kind of, you know, all the kids are very bohemian and they're very open-minded and want to include her and everything. And she's never really had that before. And then her and her cousin, Eddie, fall in love. Like that. don't tell them what I just did. They fall in love.
I will not tell them that you almost scissored your hands together.
No, don't
what?
Say that.
No.
But they do that, and then a war breaks out, and they're separated, and they vow to come back to this house where she fell in love with them. So
don't spoil it.
I won't. I haven't spoiled it.
Okay, good.
But it's great, though. It's kind of, you know, it's one of those stories. A lot of people are kind of saying, oh, it kind of reminds me of this and it kind of reminds me of that. But I think it's told in a very unique way through the cinematography and just through the people that Kevin chose to be in this film. Like the kid who plays my little cousin in it, Harley Bird, is amazing. So it's kind of a lot of lovely special things came together in the film and hopefully made it.
That's good. Fantastic. When is it coming out?
I'll show you. When does it come out here? When does it come out here, Jess?
This Friday.
Oh, it's this Friday.
Oh, How I Live Now comes out this Friday, November 8th.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's been...
I know. Double check it to make sure.
You did a movie with Matt Smith.
Yeah.
I know Matt.
You know Matt?
Of course.
You know him well?
Yes.
Do you know him like you know your magician
friend? Don't get
friends?
Magician-y on me. I knew you were going to go there.
Or do you actually know him?
No, I actually know Matt.
How do you know Matt?
Through
Doctor Who?
Through Doctor Who. I did a show at BBC. I was fucking just with Karen Gillan last night.
Oh my god!
So
I don't know Karen now.
Who's got two magicians now?
I don't know her personally. Karen's not a magician. Matt's not a magician either.
He's there. Yes, he is. He is an
he
alien
the same
with two hearts.
I know.
Now it may seem like magic to you, but it's actually science.
Okay.
It's Gallifreyan science.
I'm sure it is. I don't watch Doctor Who.
God damn it! Oh, my heart.
I don't watch Doctor Who.
That's all right.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
But I love Matt.
Matt's great.
Matsky's the best.
Matsky?
Matsky.
We don't have pet names for each other.
Matsky.
Damn it.
Smithy.
Well, Smithers and I.
Smithers. Smithy is what people call him.
No, I don't think so. I don't...
His friends call him that.
I'm pretty sure it's...
Poor fella had to get surgery done on his knee a little while back.
Oh.
Couldn't walk for a while.
Oh, that I mean...
Did you know that?
Sure, I knew all about it.
Did he call you up and tell you when he was...
Yeah,
in his
you
house
know,
on his own?
Just sort of when he gives me the daily download every night, we just sort of...
Matt did this today.
Put our hair up in curlers and
oh,
chat
poor
on the
Matt.
Phone.
Yeah. So when was the last time you saw him?
At Comic-Con.
Are you actually friends with Matt?
I am.
Do you just meet up with him at Comic-Con?
No, we hang out other times too. We hang out other times too.
He hasn't got any hair now. Well, he shaved his head,
yeah.
For the film that we did.
Right. Oh, that was... You were in that movie with him.
Yeah.
Oh, now it all makes sense. Oh, okay, yeah. You did that movie. Gotcha. Did you shoot that in Detroit?
Nice. Detroit, Michigan.
Nice.
The Big D.
Home of... I don't know if they really want to call it that.
What?
The Big D? Do they call it the Big D?
Yeah, they call it the D.
Do they?
Yeah, the D.
That sounds pornographic.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh,
if
yeah.
someone says like, "Hey, you want the Big D?" And then everyone's like, mm.
Well,
"I don't think the first
do.
Choice is
now
choice
that's
is like
what they think
yeah,
of.
Let me see Detroit." They think it now.
It's better than the little D. It's better than the disappointing day.
The adorable.
The aunt day. The cute day.
Don't you dare use that word.
No, it's great. I love it there. I think it's so great. You know, it's the home of techno. That's where techno started. Was in Detroit.
Yep. And
did you know that?
Yeah, I'm friends with techno. Oh. I could totally text techno right now if I wanted to. But I won't because we're doing a podcast.
Sure.
Look,
embarrassing.
I know
it's
magicians.
Embarrassing for me.
I know Matt.
And
I
you know techno.
Yes.
Everyone knows techno.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, the techno really kind of exploded when I was in college. And so
okay.
The whole idea of going to raves, of just like being this dopey white kid in these baggy clothes with a fucking Dr. Seuss hat on and a clock hanging around my neck and going to a warehouse rave.
Yeah.
Those were
those
were
the days. Those were the techno days.
I have sad techno days in my past. Sad, sad, sad.
It's, now it's good. They had that techno fest actually on in Detroit when we were there. I didn't get to go to it, but it's cool though. It's a great place. I mean, it's rough right now, but, you know.
But it's cool. And there's a lot
It's cool. I'm sure it's tough for the people that live there. You know, there's a lot of people that live there that don't have a job and they find it very tough.
Well, there are sections of it that are just abandoned.
Yeah.
But they are building it back up and hopefully they I've performed there a bunch.
Have you?
And it's a good town.
Where do you stay when you go there?
I honestly don't remember. I really have been there. I'm really good friends with Detroit.
Do you know Matt Smith?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the British one. Yeah, I do. Not just the guy
Where
named
is he
Matt
from?
Smith.
In England.
From Great Britain. I know he plays soccer.
He does play soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's from soccer.
You know that I could have easily just looked him up on Wikipedia before I got here. I might not even know him either. Yeah.
No, but you actually did do a movie with him. So
I did do a movie with him, yeah. But yeah, it was great. You know, there's this place that they have there called DeMongo's, which is run by this guy, Larry DeMongo. And he was actually in the film. The director, Ryan, put him in the film and just got a bunch of characters from the street and kind of, he'd incorporate them into scenes that we did. So there was one scene, actually, that Matt and I do, and it's outside a gas station, and this woman just came up out of the blue, and she had this big kind of red jumper on. And she's like, she was completely out of it, you know, she was kind of gone, but she was convinced that she was an actress, and so she started to perform this scene with Matt, and I was kind of standing there, and I thought, I was like, we were just doing a scene, and now you've come in, and now you're doing the scene, and we don't know who you are. And then she comes up to me and gives me a hug, and then just runs off and like collapses onto the ground and says, I'm dying, a monster's caught me, I'm dying. Wow. And Ryan's still recording, and he's like, this is fucking great, isn't it? He was so excited about
it. Did it make the movie?
I hope it did. I don't know yet.
Because I hope she didn't run too far away so she could get her SAG card.
I know, right? Yeah. Make it legit.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so we had crazy things like that just happen all the time. And I don't think you could get that anywhere else but Detroit. So.
Have you, and just as we're sort of wrapping, God damn it, this has almost been an hour already. Oh, you got
to
go? Are you doing other podcasts?
No,
okay.
No other podcasts.
All right.
How do you want to...
How do we want to dismount?
How should we, like, wrap it up?
This is 95 kilowatts. We got a lot of...
And we're out.
Okay, so what have we learned today? Ireland's a beautiful country. I should visit it.
Yeah.
You spend a lot of time stalking people in lakes. You're in really a lot of cool movies. We didn't even talk about Lovely Bones. And I apologize that we didn't.
Go see the Lovely Bones on DVD.
Lovely Bones on DVD.
Jackson, Lord of the
Rings. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm sorry, I'm a bit jet lagged, so I'm kind of all over the place.
Please, we say enjoy your burrito at the end of the podcast. Will you please say it because you have a much nicer accent than I do?
Okay. Enjoy your burrito. I actually had a burrito before I came in here.
So did you enjoy it?
It was so good.
You're living it.
It was so good.
You're living the philosophy.
It's the best burrito I've ever had.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail. Or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies and brands to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity, a how-to guide for navigating life's challenges from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.